of psychological element to doing those things. Sometimes people make poster boards, or more often now make like digital slideshows that people can say. And there's something really important about remembering and celebrating, you know, who that person was, what their life was, the good things, but also processing the hard things, because we are all, you know, we're all mixtures, right? People with feet of clay, and there are also things that we mourn, longings that we had for this departed one that never were realized, or that, you know, we still had these disappointments at those. And it's just really important to walk through those things, to grieve those things, to celebrate those things, places where we saw God at work in their lives, all of that. So that's an important part of what is going on. I do fear that a little bit, you know, some of our movement towards memorial and this sort of celebration of life is very impacted by the modern, more individualistic spirit of the day, where it puts the emphasis on the person too much. One of the things that we sometimes wrestle with for people, you see, this is a pretty typical funeral service for Christ Church. That words of remembrance. Some of you may come from traditions where that has never happened. You know, we don't have any type of words of remembrance, or others of you are like, they come from a tradition where that's all that happens. You know, there's like an open mic and people come up and share their memories and different things like that. We try to like split the difference between that a little bit, and we'll frequently have one or two people. This is always, you know, at the family's wishes, you know, one or two people. And I do like it, because it brings some humanity to this person. We are burying a person, and while we exist eternally, our souls exist eternally, it's not absent of who we are. You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the flesh, you know, so he is a resurrected human. So I think there's something that is good and beautiful about that. But there's some sort of balance there where you want to remember the person, but it's not ultimately about that person. It's ultimately for the congregation. I mean, we thought about that so often. You know, we're talking about these things. You know, what would Don have wanted, or how would this? He doesn't really care. To put it crassly, I mean, he has passed from this world into glory. And so there is a sense in which we do want to honor and remember, but also what's more important is, you know, this is a moment where, especially in our culture, like we talked about this at the very beginning of the class, like, we have sort of this uneasy relationship with death in our culture, where we're both fascinated by it, you know, as you evidence in our movies and media. We see so much violence and killing. We see it in our world. I mean, violence and killing as entertainment. And then we see it in our world. So it's both very pervasive, but it's also, we try to keep it at an arm's length. We keep it at a distance. It was, you know, interesting, even last Sunday night, we all gathered at the house and his body was there. What we were waiting for, the sheriff was there, because he died at home. They have to do an investigation of that. And then, you know, we had to wait for the funeral home, and they got delayed, so it was several hours. And you could see sort of the tension and the angst, like, you know, here we are with this dead body of our father, our husband, sitting in the house. We're waiting for somebody to come and take it away, which, you know, in the old days didn't happen. You know, you die. That's why we had parlors in our homes, is because, you know, when, you know, old Jack died, some of you know Wendell Berry, the memory of old Jack, you know, his Port William. He just came out with a new book, by the way, Mace Catlett, I think. Some of you, any other Wendell Berry fans in here? Oh, good, just Deanna, that's it. All right, well, we'll have coffee later and we'll talk about that. But, you know, they would keep the body in the home until it had to be buried like 3, maximum 4 days later because it's starting to deteriorate. But we have this whole industry now that takes death away from us, that removes us from it. And we don't see it. We're not agricultural. We're not seeing the life and death cycle in animals and, you know, all of these different things. So I don't even know where I was going with all of that. But, you know, I know where I was going. When we come to a funeral, it's a moment that for many of us is the closest that we ever get to actually experiencing death. And so it's an important time for us to reflect on life and death and to begin to think about that. You know, I think about as a preacher, you know, funerals and weddings are times, are opportunities that I have to open the gospel to people who probably wouldn't ordinarily choose to be in church, but because of the providence of their relationships with these people have come and are now a part of that. So what are we doing in a funeral service? It's not less than a remembrance about the life of this person and a celebration of this. So I'm not saying that a memorial or celebration of life is wrong language, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to be something that goes beyond that, that we think about life, death, we think about, you know, the present, and we think about eternity. Where we think about the real realities. It's almost like there's a book called Accompany Them with Singing by Tom Long, which is a really good book on funerary practices. If you are interested in that, he's got sort of some history in there. It talks about some things, various culture. But he talks about a funeral is the theater. It's the seeing place where we come together and we are at a point in our history, in our lives, where we can see both present and eternity in clear. And that's what we really want to get, we want to get across as we come together. Like, this is a time for us to reflect. You know, this is a time for us to step back from the impetus that life gets going on and to think about ultimate realities in terms of life and death, all of those different things. So as you think about your own funeral, I think it's important to think in those categories, to think about, you know, how do I want my life to be remembered, but what is the message that I want my friends to be reminded of, that I want my loved ones who maybe don't know Christ to be brought into. You know, like, how does this thing that I have loved so much in life, you know, how does this become celebrated in my passing? So, you know, we typically walk through this. It's, you know, and this can be adjusted, a call to assembly where we just have some reflections on life and death. You know, usually some scripture that is tied with that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. Psalm 116. You know, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest from their labors and their works do follow them, from Revelation. I mean, there's a number of different things. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. These are common sort of scripture truths that we assemble. Prayer, what are we praying for? You know, we're not praying for the dead necessarily, but we're praying that Christ would be glorified. We're praying that our hearts would be brought together into these truths of life and death. Readings, you know, scriptures that, you know, hopefully are chosen. You know, I really would love to, for all of you to go through and just kind of say, if I were to think about my funeral right now, what are the scriptures? What are the songs that I would like sung? How would they be? Put it in one of your Apple Notes or give it to a friend. You know, make sure you can find it. Don't encrypt it behind several walls. But, think about those types of things. You know, I think a homily is very appropriate. If you want, you know, if you're thinking words of remembrance, like, who do you want to say these? And like, how do I make these meaningful? What do I want said? Like, it's not, you know, sometimes you know the word eulogy, right? Good words, and we associate that. How do we want that directed? It's not just like, Don Vanderroos was a great man. You know, it's like we saw Christ in Don in these various ways. You know, like, so there's a difference in that. Like, we don't just talk about the person. You know, ultimately, for the believer who dies in the Lord, we want to talk about ways that we saw God at work in that person. And sometimes that's even through their difficulties. We saw him wrestling with his, you know, natural bent to be cynical. But we saw God working in his life in that way and overcoming that. Or, you know, he wasn't very naturally affectionate, but we saw God, you know, working it. Yeah, there's ways that we can honor the Lord even as we talk about these things. So we want to think about that. And you know, more prayers. Usually that last prayer is more about a transition, you know, a prayer of comfort, you know, for the family as we go out now, you know, help those who are closest to him that are feeling the grief, you know, to both navigate that and to feel that a little better. And then also for those who maybe weren't as close to him, just to be thoughtful. So that's a prayer of sending usually, which of course brings to the benediction. Any questions or thoughts, you know, just as we've been talking about this, does this bring things to mind? Philip.
But I did it anyway. And it was the best hour, the most holy hour I had with her.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, how do we think about those things? Yeah, Carl. Thank you for sharing that, Phil.
John the Baptist, Jesus,
thought my voice is bouncing up.
Yeah. Hold it up.
You know, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, John, Mary, all those Marys, you know, Jesus' mom, Mary of Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, who knows? You know, what would we say about them? Jesus, son of Joseph, survived by his mother Mary, you know, a carpenter, noted rabbi, healer, friend to all, and savior of the world. What can we say about Jesus? He liked to fish, and he loved to travel, and he loved people. And, you know, he told some great stories, and he'll be missed. It seems like something's missing there about what he was really about. And if our lives were really about, you know, something other than what, let's say, all of those people's lives were about, then such a eulogy is perfect. But if you were about the same thing, it seems like, you know, like in my case, I would rather not have a memorial or a funeral service. Because I don't think anybody knows what I'm about. And as far as death, I've been dead since I came to Christ 55 years ago.
Yeah, thanks. Other thoughts? Whoa, we got a lot. We have to keep them short. We're running out of time. So over here, Ken, Alex. Sorry, Gerald, Steve.
one of the exciting things that has happened in my life is to go to a funeral service for a friend who's a Roman Catholic. Any of you have been to a Roman Catholic mass funeral, and you're alert to it, you will hear the gospel recited over and over and over again with all of the readings within the prayers. And as a good Protestant, you say to yourself, what's the matter with these people? Why don't they get it? But as a sinner, I get it each time I've been to a Catholic funeral. And so I would encourage us to think about how gospel-infused is the service, whether it's called a memorial. And I agree with you, it's not about me. It's about what Jesus has done for you, Carl, 55 years ago, and for me, going on 70 years. And so I would just encourage us to figure out how people will walk away and say, I was at a worship service. I've never been to one of them before. Something different is going on here. So anyway, that's
a thought. I wonder if the words of remembrance belong better at something outside of the funeral proper.
Yeah, I mean,
like at the lunch afterward.
It's certainly
where you have an outlet to do that. I mean, that's my thought.
Yep. It's certainly an option. I don't think that the words of remembrance are essential to a funeral. I've seen them done well, seen them done poorly. So they can add, as long as it stays focused on Christ and people are drawn into what Christ is doing and can do in our lives versus what this person was about. You know, what we can say about this person. So, yeah. Here, yeah, go ahead. We'll get you next, Alex.
As a single person, I have a practical problem to solve, because there are times when I'm laying in bed at night and I'll think, if I were to die right now, what sort of a tripwire am I going to pull to set all these things in motion?
Yeah.
And you were talking about encrypting a computer file. I thought, somebody is going to have to get into my all my data.
Yeah.
And somebody is going to have to know what my plans are. And how do you do that as a practical matter?
Yeah.
Fill that gap between the moment when I'm gone,
yeah,
and everything else has to happen, and I'm not there.
Right. Well, that's part of why we're talking about this, is we need to make arrangements for that. You help everybody else. It's not necessarily for you. You know, you just help everybody else the more that you can do this. And so I have a file in my computer that has several people's things. You know, some of it is for widows or widowers and people that, like you, are single, and they've shared those things with me. But it could be anybody in your family of believers, somebody who just, like, you sit down with them and say, hey, you know, here, if something happens to me, you hear it, here's the things that are laid out, here's where you can find them. And that's really what this is kind of about, is just thinking about those things, working through them in an organized way, or a somewhat systematic way, and sharing them with people. Alex.
Hi. I think these six things the pastor was put over there first. The church, I need to tell the church to be more strong about that. This we not call it the death. We call it to sleep, because the Christian did not die. Did not die. We sleep. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, for sure.
We sleep. Don't we not need to think more about those things. Because it's this we believe in. Amen? Is that one we believe in? So, the things our Lord Jesus was passed, that the same way is the same way our Christians we will follow. Amen?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Give it to Dick. All right. Let me just... We are coming to the end of our time. Here are just a couple of things. So, again, way more that we could talk about. But hopefully, you know, this time together, and, you know, I'm anticipating other conversations and different things. That's fine. That's great. Hopefully it's just made us more aware. Here are a couple things, like, as you're thinking about your funeral, that you can think about, like, what scripture passages, what songs, you know, do you want people talking or not? You know, who might be good to talk about those things? You know, is there a particular officiant, you know, that somebody that was, that you want to have for that? So those would be just some things that you can think about. But this, you know, like I said, is kind of a typical service. You know, we were going to break up and just have you discuss a little bit amongst yourselves, but we kind of covered it a little bit more as a group today. But, you know, as you go from this place, and from this class, as we end it, you know, hopefully there's a sense, like, you know, why is it important to be able to talk about death and dying, you know, and to work with that? What's the importance of that for us as believers? because we affirm all of those things. You think back to all those scriptures that we look at, what Alex said is true. You know, we don't think about death in the same way that the world thinks about death. The world thinks about death as the final, the end. We think about it as asleep and waiting for Jesus to come again. How does a failure to, I mean, these two first questions go together. How does a failure to discuss issues about death hurt a family's functioning? You know, how does it help? You know, funerals and weddings, that's when it all comes out with the families, right? And we, you know, we pastors have to navigate that sometimes. And you can really help maintain peace in your family by being clear about some of these things, sitting down with everybody and saying, all right, here's the deal. Whether it's possessions or wishes, I mean, it's crazy the stuff that, you know, comes out at weddings and funerals with regards to that. But then also just, you know, in the present, we don't want to just keep death off at an arm's length. Because it's an enemy, but it's a defeated enemy, and we do not have to fear it in the same way. So we can talk about it. We can talk about the departed. We can talk about these different things. You know, it's just for reflection. You know, what stood out to you as something important that you can do or we can do together to be better prepared for death? How does preparing for death make for better living? That's been sort of the premise of this class, is that when we live in light of dying, it actually brings our life into full color in a way that we don't have. You know, when you think about the you know, first 3 weeks, we went through the Old Testament, we went through Jesus, we went through, you know, Paul, what they were saying about death. You know, what stood out to you? What do you want to come back to and reflect on a little bit more? So those are sort of the things that we'd send out with you. You know, just continue the conversation. So again, you know, feel like we had 12 weeks of material that we were trying to fit into 6 weeks. So I apologize for any gaps or, you know, things that went a little more quickly than you would have liked. But, you know, my prayer is that this can become a conversation that we don't shy away from, and that we can talk as a family. And that will be helpful for you in your present as you think about these things. It will be helpful for your family as you go through this. And that will ultimately, you know, speak to the glory of God in all of our lives, in life and in death, that we would bring glory to Him. So I need to let you go. Let me send us out with a prayer, and I'll be here for a few minutes. I have one more copy of this, too, that somebody can take. And if you want more, let me know or email the office and we can get it to you. You also have the PDF on the class documents. Jesus, as we are here, we are so grateful that you are the living and the true one, that there is no fear in death for the believers, for we know that you have conquered death, and you have the keys to death and to hell. And Lord, we pray that as we go, that you would bring this confidence, arise this confidence in each of our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who are living with anxiety, fear, maybe even as they're growing older, thinking about this, or have death working in their body in an obvious way. Lord, we pray that you would walk closely with us and that we would learn to rest upon you. Lord, we do pray for those that are still grieving. Think of my own family this week, Lisa's family. Lord, we pray that you would bring comfort, comfort in the truths of the gospel. Lord, we pray now that you would send us on our way, and we are grateful that we have you as our captain and as our guide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.